Blog Talk Radio.
He's at the 20, throwing speed, 25, 30, 35. He's got a chance, needs a block. He's in midfield. He's going to take it to the house. See ya, 91 yards. Breaks one tackle. He's got some running room, 30, 35. He could go down the far sideline. I don't think they're going to get him. He's going to have a chance, though. He takes him into 39. At the 40, comes to the outside. 45, he's at midfield. Runs past the man, 40. He's coming back the other way. He's at the 30. He's at the 25, 20, 15, 10. He may go home, and he does. Holy cow.
Kick in the air. LSU wins. I can tell you for sure now, LSU wins.
The sun will soon find its home in the western sky, and it will be Saturday night in Death Valley.
And welcome to Bengal Beat, a Tiger Hype podcast. I am your host, Patrick Fry, and I will be here each and every week talking LSU football. Thank you for tuning in wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Go follow our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, and also our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. And also be on the lookout for our brand new website that will be launching any day now. But whenever that does, you can check in with our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, also our podcast page. We will let you know when our website is up and running. There's going to be plenty of cool features for this website for you guys, the fans, to interact with each other along with us. We will be on there interacting on our brand new forums that we're going to have. I'm very excited about the forums to, you know, have people get involved and talk about LSU football, because nothing I love more than talking sports, especially LSU football. And the LSU Tigers have now improved to 5-0 on the season. Yesterday, after a 45-24 win over the South Carolina Gamecocks, it was not your usual Saturday in Tiger Stadium, because, of course, the game was originally scheduled to be played in Columbia, South Carolina, but due to the historic floods in South Carolina, it was decided that the game would be moved to Baton Rouge. All the proceeds of the game did go to South Carolina. And at the end of the game, running back Leonard Fournette announced that he would put his game jersey up for auction to benefit South Carolina flooding victims. The NCAA originally said that Fournette could not do that. However, they changed their ruling maybe not even an hour after they even said that. So now Leonard Fournette will indeed be able to auction off his game jersey to benefit those in South Carolina. It was just the ultimate show of hospitality yesterday by LSU towards South Carolina and their fans. The announced attendance of the game was 42,058 fans, so wasn't quite filled up. And I know a lot of people out there were disappointed in the fact that just not a lot of fans showed up. I mean, you got to understand that, you know, something like that gets moved on such short notice. You know, a lot of people had plans yesterday. I know it's wedding season. I know a lot of people were getting married yesterday, and I was busy myself because I have my work schedule set up to where I work certain away games and whatnot, you know, for my job. And had I known prior that this game would have been in Columbia, I mean, in Baton Rouge, I probably would have gone, but it's such short notice. The fact that they got 42,000 people in there is quite impressive. I'm sure it was a fun atmosphere. It was beautiful weather. South Carolina fans came. They got treated to – it was a pretty entertaining game for a little bit before LSU ran away with it. And we're going to go ahead and look at the scoring recap from the game. LSU, actually, we'll talk about this more in a little bit, but they led all season long. And they never trailed until yesterday at the beginning of the game. Started off Elliott Frye, 21-yard field goal for South Carolina, putting them up 3-0. And then Darrell Williams answers for LSU, 4-yard run. LSU went up 7-3. Then Brandon Harris had a touchdown pass to Malachi Dupree for 10 yards, put LSU up 14-3. Then the ensuing kickoff, Rashad Fenton for South Carolina returns at 96 yards for a touchdown. And then Trent Domain caps off the half with a field goal. LSU leads it 17-10 at halftime. Then in the third quarter, it did not take even 60 seconds for Leonard Fournette to break a long touchdown run. He scores, puts LSU up 24-10, and then Brandon Harris completes another touchdown pass, long one, 62 yards to Traven Doral for another touchdown. At this point, LSU's up by 3 touchdowns, and then South Carolina starts kind of trying to fight their way back into it. Perry Orth had a pass to Jarrell Adams for 36 yards. It's 31-17. Darrell Williams gets it, the second touchdown of the day. LSU goes back up 38-17. Perry Orth pass then gets past Farrell Cooper, who kind of was starting to – they were picking us apart very early in this game. Farrell Cooper, though, arguably the best wide receiver in the entire conference. That puts the South Carolina lead at 38-17. And I had the rest. Oh, here we go. Okay. Well, I have the rest of the box score here on my notes, but for some reason, I don't know, the way the format is, it kind of disappeared on me there. Let's see. Then Perry Orth completed another pass to Pharaoh Cooper, made it 38-24. And Darius Geis, who was the leading rusher yesterday with 161 yards. We'll talk a little bit more about that. He caps it off 45-24. That is your final score. LSU improves to 5-0. The LSU offense accounted for 624 yards of total offense. That was only the second time under Les Miles that the Tigers have earned more than 600 yards of total offense. The first and only other time was October 26, 2013. LSU had 672 yards. It was also the most against an SEC opponent since October 31, 1987 at Ole Miss in Jackson, when the Tigers had 630 total yards. The yardage total was the 14th total of more than 600 since 1960, and just the fifth against an SEC opponent. Leonard Fournette, another great day rushing. This was actually his season low, 158 yards. Somebody joked about that last night on College Football Final. I don't remember if it was Joey Galloway maybe, joked about how it was his season low, 158 yards on 20 attempts. He now, for the season, Leonard Fournette has 1,022 rushing yards and became the fastest player in program history to reach 1,000 yards in a season, needing just five games to do so. Charles Alexander was the previous fastest in 1977, 175 carries to gain 1,003 yards with 12 touchdowns in seven games. Leonard Fournette, 87-yard touchdown run, gave LSU the 24-10 lead. He has now had three runs over 70 yards this season and has scored three touchdowns of 60 yards or greater this season, and has six touchdowns of 20 yards or more. Fournette Howe now, for his career, has 2,056 rushing yards. He's the 15th player in LSU history to account for 2,000 yards or more in a season. He also extended his games of rushing for at least 100 yards to now seven straight. It was also his 10th 100-yard rushing game of his career, leaving him one shy of Jeremy Hill, who is in fourth place. Quarterback Brandon Harris. Yes, we've a lot of talk coming into this game, well, at least the past couple of weeks, was opening up the passing game. Well, Brandon Harris threw for a season and career best 228 yards on 18 of 28 passing, two touchdowns, no interceptions. By halftime, Harris actually had season highs in completions and attempts passing. So that was just by halftime. The touchdown pass to Traven Doral of 62 yards was the longest pass play of Harris's career. And for the team this season, besting his previous mark of 52 against Auburn in 2014. Wide receiver Malachi Dupree hauled in a season and team best, six catches for 74 yards. His six receptions were a career high. Dupree caught his second touchdown pass in the last three games on a 10-yard reception to give LSU the 14-3 lead in the second quarter. He also hauled in a 28-yard pass early in the fourth quarter, which is the longest of the contest. Wide receiver Traven Doral led all players with 109 receiving yards on four catches, a season high, and the first player with over 100 receiving yards this season. Doral's 62-yard touchdown reception in the third quarter to give LSU the 31-10 lead over South Carolina is Doral's longest of the season. Actually, the first game of the season, he had that long pass from Brandon Harris that was actually called back. I remember that because I believe that would have been LSU's first touchdown of the year, but that was called back. That seemed like so long ago now, but it just goes to show you how far along we are in the season. If LSU had played McNeese State and the game wouldn't have got canceled, LSU is actually technically halfway through their schedule right now. We only have six games left, including the Florida Gators matchup this weekend, which we'll get into in just a little bit. Running back Darrell Williams, 61 yards on 10 attempts. He scored his first touchdown of the season in the fourth quarter on a four-yard run. Williams extended the score 38-10 on his second touchdown run of the game late in the third quarter. He earned his second multiple touchdown game of his career, matching his two against ULM last season. Safety John Battle recorded his first career interception deflected pass in the second quarter. Darius Geis, what a game. He led the team with 161 yards on the ground, 16 touches. He earned his first career touchdown with 13:15 remaining in the fourth quarter to give LSU the 45-24 lead. He also earned a run of 39 yards in the fourth quarter, the longest run of his career so far. Kendall Beckwith led the team in tackles for the second time this season, finishing with 5 to tie his season high, including 4 solo tackles. We talked about a little while ago, LSU had not trailed once this season until South Carolina kicker Elliott Fry booted the 21-yard field goal that put South Carolina up 3-0. But then after LSU scored that opening touchdown, they did not trail the rest of the game. South Carolina ripped off a 62-yard scoring drive to open the game, ending the Tiger streak. LSU either led or was tied with all of its opponents for all 243 minutes and 58 seconds prior to the Gamecocks score. Senior defensive back Jalen Mills, who had been sidelined with an ankle injury since August the 19th, dressed out and participated in pregame warm-up Saturday. He was joined by senior tight end Dylan Gordon, who was day-to-day since injuring his Achilles against Auburn on September the 19th, but neither player played a snap. So it'll be interesting to see if Jalen Mills can come back for the Florida game, because there was, you know, early in the game, our defensive backs just looked a little, and throughout the game, our defensive backs didn't look as good as we would have liked. Obviously, a little bit of improvement is needed in the defensive secondary, but with the way that we're running the ball and whenever the passing game gets opened up enough, we can see just how deadly and lethal LSU's offense can be and how many points they can score. And pretty much, you know, at halftime, I remember the big talk was how South Carolina was able to stop Leonard Fournette, and then not even 60 seconds into the second half, he breaks an 87-yard touchdown, and then, you know, no longer can you say you stopped him, because at that point, I think he had like 138 yards. So, yeah, Leonard Fournette, you know, just goes to show you at any given time, whether he has a bad first half, bad second half, bad first three quarters, he can break one first play of the fourth quarter. So, and then Darius Geis, when Leonard Fournette gets tired, because we know down the stretch we might start playing teams, maybe even this week against Florida, we're going to give Fournette many, many carries, and it's nice to see that we have some fresh backs like Darius Geis, who can not only, you know, knock players off of him, but some people tell me he could be the next Leonard Fournette. So it's good to see. And then also Darrell Williams, props to Darrell Williams. Nick Brossett got in yesterday. He actually fumbled the ball. They took him out, and he seemed a little upset about that, but he's just a freshman. He'll shake that off. And, you know, with a leader like Fournette, I seen Fournette on the sideline. He was kind of, you know, tell him to shake it off. You'll be all right. You'll be good to go. It's going to be all good, you know. You know, make mistakes. So he fumbles the ball and, you know, he gets put on the bench. Unfortunately, he didn't seem too happy about it, but he will get his chance to redeem himself, I would think, at some point later this season, if not in the next couple of years at LSU. So let's take a look, quick look at the top 25 recap from this past week. Of course, the LSU Tigers defeated the South Carolina Gamecocks 45-24 on Thursday. 17th-ranked USC was upset 17-12. A little bit of breaking news out of USC right now. Steve Sarkisian has been asked to take a leave of absence after reportedly showing up to practice either drunk or hungover today. So Steve Sarkisian will be taking a leave of absence. They did announce an interim head coach for now. Let me see if I can get that up for you real quick. Got to look into the got to look it up on Twitter here. Clay Helton has been named the interim head coach now for USC. They're coming off a home loss to Washington. Number one team Ohio State beats Maryland 49-28. TCU escapes Kansas with a victory 52-45 over Kansas State. Baylor absolutely rolls over Kansas 66-7. Michigan State gets another close win 31-24 over Rutgers. Utah Utes defeat the California Bears 30-24, so Cal will probably get knocked out of the top 25. Clemson keeps on rolling 43-24 over Georgia Tech. Alabama defeats Arkansas 27-14. Texas with the biggest upset of the day. They defeat 10th-ranked Oklahoma 24-17. The 11th-ranked Florida Gators, who will be coming to Tiger Stadium this week, got a win at Missouri 21-3. 12th-ranked Florida State got by Miami, 29-24. The 18th-ranked Michigan Wolverines, who has become quite the talk of the college football world over the past couple of weeks with their defense, they blank 13th-ranked Northwestern, 38-0. Ole Miss runs over New Mexico State, 52-3. Notre Dame defeats Navy, 41-24. Tennessee beats 19th-ranked Georgia, 38-31. Oklahoma State needed overtime to get by West Virginia, 33-26. Oklahoma State now 6-0 on the season. Iowa also improves to 6-0 on the season with a 29-20 victory over Illinois. Toledo improves to 5-0 on the year. They were ranked 24th. They win 38-7 over Kent State, and the Boise State Broncos defeat Colorado State 41-10. So Boise State now 5-1 on the year. The entire top 25 is full of either undefeated or one-loss teams. They actually just came out a few hours ago with the new polls. And LSU, they remain fifth in the Amway coaches poll, and they move up to sixth in the AP poll. So 5-6, it was last week, I believe we were 5-8 or 6-8, I don't even remember. But, yeah, we were fifth, and I think we were eighth in the AP poll, or fifth and seventh, if that's what it was. Fifth and seventh in the AP poll, we move up one spot. And this week, huge game for the LSU Tigers. And this game is much bigger than most people were going to anticipate in preseason. You know, Florida got their new head coach, Jim McElwain, and they're now 6-0. And they got some pretty nice victories 2 weeks ago, absolutely demolished Ole Miss, who was coming off a victory over Alabama just a couple of weeks before that. And, man, I tell you what, the Florida Gators, they're looking much better than most people expected them. And last season, LSU and Florida had one hell of a game in Gainesville where LSU won 30-27 on a game-winning field goal in the closing seconds. Leonard Fournette in that game rushed for what was a career high at the time, 140 yards and two touchdowns. Florida is currently 6-0. And they are number 11 in the coaches poll, but are getting some more love in the AP poll. They are now number 8. So according to the AP poll, this will be a top 10 matchup. According to the coaches poll, this will be a top 11 matchup. So let's take a look at LSU's team statistics through the South Carolina game. Total offense, 24th in the country, averaging 468 yards per game. We are third in the country in rushing offense. No surprise there. I'm still surprised we're not even first. I didn't look to see who was first, but, man, whoever's second and first has to have quite the running game because, man, I'm telling you what, this is the best LSU running game I've seen in a long, long time. We're averaging 346 yards per game. Passing offense, even with that great performance yesterday, over 200 yards for Brandon Harris, we're still ranked 122nd in the country. Check this out. We're ranked 122nd in the NCAA in passing yards, and we're averaging – 122 yards a game. So ranked 122nd, averaging 122 yards a game. That's the cool little statistic for you for the day, even though I don't believe that's the coolest statistic to be ranked that far down in passing offense. Team passing efficiency, we're 75th. Our scoring offense is 20th in the country now. We're averaging 37.8 yards per game. Our total defense, wonderful right now, 14th in the country, giving up 291 yards a game. Our rushing defense, we're not even giving up 100 yards a game. Almost, though, 99.6 yards to be exact, we're giving up per game. That is good for 13th in the country. We are also now tied for first and fourth down conversions. We actually attempted our first down conversion of the year against South Carolina and got it. So we are perfect on the year there. Our turnover margin is plus 1.2, which is tied for 11th in the country. Brandon Harris, actually, I thought he had an interception on the year. He actually does not, because the supposed interception that he threw against Eastern Michigan last week was officially ruled a fumble in the stat book. So Brandon Harris still taking very good care of the football. No official interceptions this year. Hopefully that trend continues, and the fact that LSU is just not turning the ball over is really what's keeping them going. Because if you remember in 2011 when they went 12-0 in the regular season, they were not turning the ball over nearly at all. I think there was probably a month they went without turning the football over. So props to this LSU offense for taking very good care of the football. Our red zone offense, we score 87% of the time, which is tied for 45th. Our red zone defense, however, not that great. They were giving up scores 91.7% of the time, which is tied for 110th in the country. But the fact is, we're giving up a little more field goals than we do touchdowns. So that's always a plus side there, especially when you have a guy like Fournette who can break an 80-yard run whenever he feels like it. Let's take a look at the Florida team stats now. Florida, their total offense, 84th in the country with 384 yards per game. Their rushing offense, not that great. They're ranked 100th in the country. They have Kelvin Taylor, their stud running back. They're only averaging 138 yards per game, but their passing offense is where they thrive. 246 yards a game, ranked 47th. Their passing game, obviously, way better than ours. Their team passing efficiency, ranked 27th in the country at 149.25. So their passing efficiency is real good. It'll be interesting to see how our defensive backs, especially if Jalen Mills comes back. That's going to be the top storyline, in my opinion, for this week. If Jalen Mills can come back, add some experience and some talent and some depth to this defensive secondary that has seemed to be getting picked on a lot as of late. So Jalen Mills will certainly be – I'm not going to say will because I'm not even sure if he's going to play yet, but he would certainly be a huge improvement in the defensive backfield if he can play this week against Florida. Florida's turnover margin actually 1.33, which is good for eighth in the country. Fourth down, they're converting on 90% of the time on fourth down. Their scoring defense is ranked 11th in the country. They're only giving up 14.3 yards per game. So defense, Florida's defense has actually played pretty well. They gave up 10 points to Ole Miss, I believe it was, and then only 3 points to Missouri this week. So it'll be interesting. Their total defense is ranked 16th in the country, 296 yards a game, and they're actually not giving up 100 yards a game either on the rushing side. They're ranked 12th with 99.2 yards per game rushing that they're giving up. So it will be very interesting to see how this LSU running game, you know, can do against this Florida Gator defense that has done a very good job of stopping the run. And then, you know, thank goodness that they opened up the passing game this week, because now LSU fans can actually see that when pass plays are called, LSU can get it done through the air. Brandon Harris looked fantastic yesterday throwing the football. Of course, he's not going to be perfect, but when you have a guy like Leonard Fournette, you want to, when you have a guy running the football like Leonard Fournette, you're going to give the ball to Fournette, let him do his thing first, and then, you know, once he's breaking these long runs and stuff, then, you know, the pressure comes off of Brandon Harris just a little bit. But it's going to be interesting to see if LSU gets behind at any point in this game that they have to turn to the passing game to see that. That's my only concern for Brandon Harris right now, is to see whenever they have to focus more on the passing game when they're behind. So they've only been behind for a total of a few minutes this season, and we haven't seen what Brandon Harris can do this season as far as being behind. We got to see what he can do last year being behind, and he actually was played pretty well in some of those games where he came in for Anthony Jennings last season. But and another thing, Florida probably has the best defensive back in the entire conference, if not the whole country, with Vernon Hargraves III. If I'm Brandon Harris, that I'm always making sure I know where Vernon Hargraves is, because Vernon Hargraves will make you pay immediately if you make a mistake. And Brandon Harris has done a great job of not making any mistakes this season. So if you want to limit the mistakes this Saturday night in Tiger Stadium, Brandon Harris, then you want to always be aware of where Vernon Hargraves is, because, like I said, one of the best defensive backs, not only in the conference, but pretty much of the country, in my opinion. Will Greer, their starting quarterback, has 1,204 yards on the season passing with 10 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, and he's completing 65% of his passes. Running back Kelvin Taylor is the leading rusher for the Gators with 438 yards and 7 touchdowns, which is chunk change compared to the stats of Leonard Fournette. Over 1,000 yards already, the fastest guy in LSU history to reach 1,000 yards in a season. So it'll be a very intense matchup. I expect nothing less. Like I said, last year's matchup, oh my goodness, that was probably the best game of the year, in my opinion. My favorite game from last season in the Swamp, where we could have easily lost that game, and we had a luck tip pass that Ricky Jefferson intercepted very late in the game that set up our game-winning field goal from Kobe Delahousie last season. And I would not be surprised if this game came down to a field goal. And luckily, you know, we've had, you know, Florida has played well this year up until, you know, through this week, to where LSU, if LSU can get this victory this week, it will certainly boost their resume as far as a college football playoff team. Because right now, some people, like Kirk Herbstreit, his new top four, he has LSU at number three. Some people have LSU anywhere, you know, in the top six teams. So it's fun that LSU's in the conversation for the college football playoff, because last season, you know, we really weren't at any point in the season, because when the talk started heating up, it was by that time LSU had already had two losses. We had lost to Mississippi State and then Auburn. So this season, the first actual rankings for the college football playoff will not come out until November the 3rd. But if LSU can get through Florida this week, our only game between now and then, I believe, is Western Kentucky. And that should be a win, which it won't be an easy win, because Western Kentucky is a team that can score. And Western Kentucky only has one loss this season. I believe that was to an SEC team, if I'm not mistaken. But Western Kentucky can play this year. Do not be surprised if they come in and actually compete for a little bit with LSU in a couple of weeks. But this week, the big game is Florida in Tiger Stadium. That game will be at 6 o'clock p.m. and will be televised on ESPN. So LSU Florida week. Glad to see the Gators, you know, are back undefeated. Coming to town ranked in the top 10, at least in the AP poll, is going to be fun. I wish I could head out there. There's a small chance I could be out there, but unfortunately, I have prior obligations. I'm such a busy guy these days, especially during football season and with all my jobs, including this one. I just don't have time to – I honestly don't, I rarely have a free day to even make it out to Tiger Stadium, but I do plan on trying to attempt to go to the Arkansas game. So hopefully I'll be out there for the Arkansas game, but I will certainly be in front of a TV, tuned into ESPN, 6 o'clock p.m. Friday night. This game almost got game day, but since Michigan's doing so well up there in Ann Arbor this year with Jim Harbaugh, they're hosting the number – I don't even know what Michigan State is. They're in the top five. They're hosting a top five team this week, and Michigan's only loss this season was to Utah, who is also a top five team right now. So looking forward to that game as well. Also LSU and Florida, the only matchup this week of two undefeated teams, and for all we know, it could be the last matchup between two undefeated teams this season, unless LSU would win this game and Texas A&M stays undefeated, as far as I know, because LSU and Florida are now only two of the three undefeated teams left, including Texas A&M, who will get Alabama this week at home. So that'll be another game. The college football in October just cannot be beat. Plenty of great games this coming week. LSU, Florida, Texas A&M, Alabama, Michigan State, Michigan. I know I've seen some others. I don't have them listed right here in front of me, but I will give them to you real quick. We're going to look at the schedule. I think they updated, hopefully they updated the ranking, so that way you can get just more of a feel as to how big these games are going to be next week. Oh, Thursday night game, UCLA at Stanford. That's going to be another great one. Thursday night football. So all you fans out there, Thursday night, check that game out. Who else we got here? West Virginia at Baylor, Iowa at Northwestern, Ole Miss at Memphis. Memphis is actually doing pretty good this year, so that's going to be another fun game to watch. Of course, we said Michigan State at Michigan, Florida, LSU. Just Penn State at Ohio State, Arizona State at Utah, Oregon at Washington, just a lot of big names. USC at Notre Dame is going to be interesting to see how USC fares with all that news coming out of Los Angeles today. So, well, it's about time for me to wrap it up here, folks. But thanks again for tuning in. Remember to like our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, as well as our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. This week, LSU will be back in Tiger Stadium as the home team when they take on the undefeated Florida Gators. Game time will be Saturday night, 6 o'clock on ESPN. And until then, folks, have a good week and go Tigers.